This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Macca and Mark on Saturday Magazine. It's always a pleasure, Mark Hawthorne, to have him in the studio, but also to have Nick Hollis in the studio. Always a pleasure to have you back, Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks I for see me. You everywhere on social media around the world.
Oh, really?
Stirring the pot.
Oh, no. Certainly not. Not these days.
Pots are meant for stirring.
I think my pot stirring days are long over. Just kidding.
So, Melbourne Writers Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it and your role and what's going on.
I'm super excited by this year's MWF. I really, really love what Marie Carty has done with the program. I think that it's absolutely transformed the Writers' Festival and given it a bit of a wonderful shake-up.
Yeah.
You know, Melbourne has a fantastic festival culture. It has an extraordinary literary culture.
We should have a festival of festivals.
Well, Melbourne is the festival of festivals. Yeah. As someone, but you know, before my activist days, I worked in the arts as a festival manager. And I've got to tell you, it's a very lucrative gig, except that it's criminally underpaid. but I love what Marie's done with the program, I think last year and this year. I think it's a really exciting way of looking at what the written word is and can be. I think it's ruffled a few feathers because traditionally, you know, writers' festivals are marketplaces for authors and they need spaces to promote their books. And you know, but we saw the same kind of type of author coming to do a Q&A, promote their book. And she's just blown that out of the water. I mean, it's still there. It's still a part of it. And it's an important part of it. But now we have fantastic, it's almost like the marriage of an ideas festival and a typical literary writer. Festival, which is really beautiful.
I mean, good to see. I love books.
Who doesn't?
I read, not enough people.
True.
I read a book on average every 2 weeks. And, you know, for me, biggest challenge is where do I put them? Where do I store them? I only want hard copy. I don't want e-books.
Oh, you can't do the e-book?
You can't do Kindle?
No.
There's something I'm in two minds about it because I love a full bookshelf. I love the physical book in my hand.
It's great installation on a wall.
Oh, this week we need it, absolutely. But also there's something really useful about a Kindle in that I love that I can highlight, it's like I can highlight the section of a book that I'm drawn to if I need to remember a passage and my Kindle remembers.
Take a photo of it with your phone.
It's not quite
and you'll
the
never
same.
See it again. How many photos are on your phone? That's right.
I know. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's National Love Your Bookshop Day.
Oh, Nick, beautiful.
If you were to recommend a book right now to the listeners, what would you recommend they go and buy today from a bookshop?
Oh, well, I would have to recommend Growing Up Queer in Australia, which launched just last night, which I have the privilege to be a part of.
Why would you recommend this?
Well, I have the good privilege of being in that collection of really extraordinary queer writers, authors, activists, rabble-rousers, etc. And it's all edited by my friend Benjamin Law, who is truly, I think, a national treasure.
So tell us about your contribution.
My contribution is a pretty personal essay that I wrote about an experience that I had growing up with my stepfather, which really framed the way that I have approached and thought about Australian masculinity. It was not a pleasant experience, and the writing of it has been a rather personal process that has led to some pretty big conversations with my family. But when I was invited to contribute to Growing Up Queer in Australia, it was an honour to be part of this. It's a fantastic series. I mean, Black Ink Books have done Growing Up Aboriginal in Australia, Growing Up Disabled, Growing Up African. And it's great that we now have the Queer Compendium. And I stopped and I thought I could write something about my HIV status. I've written about my HIV status for years now. But I've started to write more and more about, I think, my relationship as a queer man, as a queer person with masculinity, and how that's interacted with me at a family personal level, but that also at a broader social level. And I think now is a really urgent time for us to be talking about the way that maleness and toxic masculinity has an impact on society.
Have you had a chance to read some of the other contributions?
Only a couple of. That's my weekend job, is to have a look at some of the other essays. But I read my friend Sally Rugg is interviewed in there. My friend and boss, I should say. she might be listening. Is in there, and she has a fantastic interview. And the wonderful Brockle Snitch, Rebecca Shaw, has written this gorgeous essay, which every young queer person should read, because it just reminds us of how magical we are.
I want to ask you, Nick, a subject that we're seeing coming up, you know, it's coming up in the public domain, is religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
and how that might play out. We've got a federal attorney general, Christian Porter, who I have quite a great regard for. I think in a lot of ways, he does believe in the rule of law, but it's got to be good law. He's made some interesting comments about it. We haven't seen the legislation. We don't know what form it's going to take. It's going to be a bit of a battleground. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts...
Taking you off subject.
We're all thinking about this a lot. If you're kind of scanning even just lightly the media, you have to think about this, because we've had these kind of flashpoints of this conversation now through the Israel Falau thing. My concern is that the process for religious freedom versus religious discrimination is that it's taken such a massive pivot after the election. In that this week the Prime Minister met with a bunch of interfaith leaders about this issue, but didn't meet with a single LGBTIQ person.
That was a faith-to-faith meeting.
Yeah.
Very good.
And those interfaith gatherings are really important, and I don't want to position, you know, every single faith organisation, interfaith person, as being an enemy of the LGBTI community, because that's not how we achieve anything in this space. Yeah. But we also do have to recognise that there are major players in the faith space who are antagonistic, if not oppositional, to queer existence and queer safety. So it was really troubling for me when I saw that in the lead-up to, say, the Wentworth by-election, we had the Prime Minister making a lot of noise about religious discrimination in school and protecting kids, and not quite going as far to say protecting teachers, but protecting kids. And now it seems like, the miracle election, which provided absolutely no mandate to the Prime Minister, has been taken carte blanche as his ability to kind of wander down this pathway. And I think it's incredibly troubling. We've just seen today the Australian newspaper has launched a whole new section dedicated to trans attacks, I would categorise it as.
They should have it as a pull-out supplement every week. They could actually fill it. There's enough rat bags at that rag.
It's very troubling, and it's a really, I think, scary time. And I know that there are lots of activist players and wonderful organisations and movements in this space working really hard behind the scenes to try and get a bit of real estate in the conversation.
Why do you think, Nick, that... Okay... it's easy, it's for them, for those who want to attack trans folk and trans issues and on religious freedom, these are issues they're putting a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of money into. There are so many other issues in Australia that need government attention. Why? Is it just, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of equality? Are they afraid of living up to the Australian dream? Are they afraid of people engaging with their communities? What are they afraid of?
If we could really get to the heart of what this fear was about, this absolute moral panic, because that's what it is, it's a moral panic. If we could get to the heart of what this fear was about, we could hopefully confront it.
Yeah,
but the dangerous balance, of course, is that in the minds of mainstream Australia, we've kind of quote-unquote had this debate when marriage equality was resolved, and there is an enormous amount of complex, veiny, wiry mess out there within the queer community that are issues that are far less palatable, and they're the sort of things that the far right can absolutely leap on and organise around. It's a lot harder to organise around the rights of trans kids than it is to say that, a couple of blokes or a couple of women should be able to get married. And we're struggling to defeat that argument, I think.
Well, Cricket Australia were convinced that they needed to do the right thing. Yeah, just I just, you know.
You know my views, Macca. The heart of conservatism is just fear and ignorance.
Yeah.
That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
My parents door knocked at the last election and they kept a tally, and more than 30% of the people that they door knocked couldn't say who the Prime Minister of Australia was. Mm. That's a large cohort of our community.
Well, which week?
And a large part of that cohort is fearful of change.
Yeah.
So that's where the work needs to be done.
And I think that's a really great point, and it's a pernicious thing that the Prime Minister is doing by pushing this notion of the quiet Australians onto all of us, because to be quiet is to be subservient, is to be silenced, is to be, you know, not concerned with this quote-unquote Canberra bubble stuff. And that's, you know, these are the spaces in which democracy starts to die. I mean, this is a big thing we focus on at Change.org. When I've got my Change.org hat on, is, you know, our mission is to try and help Australians fall back in love with democracy. But that requires participation. It requires an informed point of view. And that needs to, that involves breaking open the kind of cabal of information that exists in Canberra directly to aspects of the Murdoch media, not all of it. I think it's really important to say can't say it's the entire Murdoch media.
No.
But it's a problem.
Nick Hollis, it's always a pleasure. Melbourne Writers Festival is a great festival. You're doing some good stuff, mate. Really, really acknowledge that and appreciate it. Our community needs fighters and activists, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the platform.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.